Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal your word of grace and truth and to redeem us through his death and resurrection. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, open our hearts and our minds to hear this word that you have for our lives and give us the strength to embrace it as we live our lives that you give us. This we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we are in Luke chapter 20 today, starting at verse 27. And if you have your Bibles with you, whether in paper format or digitally on your phone or in some other means, open them up. That's where we're going to be kind of camped out today. And we're looking at, there's a group of people called the Sadducees. And they're a religious group. They believed that there is no life after death. So when you die, you die. That's it. There's no heaven. There's no hell. It's just over. There's no resurrection. These are some things they believed. They also did not accept the only books of the Bible that they accepted was the first five books, better known as the Torah or the Pentateuch. It was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the books that Moses wrote. That's the only text of Scripture that they viewed as valuable. And so as a result, when they see Jesus hanging out with sinners or tax collectors, they hear Jesus saying he's the Messiah or he's going to rise from the dead. They think he's crazy because they don't buy it, because a lot of those things are mentioned in the prophets. Isaiah talks all about the Messiah. Daniel, other prophets in the Bible, but they don't buy into those books. And so they have a question for Jesus. One that's about the resurrection, which, by the way, they don't believe in. So there's two types of questions that you and I ask, or maybe two reasons why we ask them. Sometimes we ask a question to somebody because we want to get insight or wisdom. We truly don't know the answer. So if you're a young man or woman here in school, there's sometimes you don't know the answer to something and you want to know, hey, am I right whenever I came up with that answer for that equation? Or so you'll ask somebody to gain wisdom. So for me, this has manifested itself in this way. We're at our house trying to get it ready to move in, and we're painting, and we're doing a bunch of other stuff. And there's people around me that are experts in doing all of the stuff at the house. Like, I just watch HGTV, they live it, right? And so I hold their opinion in a very high way because I just have learned how to do stuff at my house on YouTube. That's it. I didn't have a father or grandfather that knew how to do, or at least that took the time. My grandfather knew how to do it, but he died when I was like in third grade. So there wasn't somebody that got to sit by me and go, this is how you do these things. I've kind of had to just learn on my own. So I ask questions because I truly want to know the answer. I want to know, hey, why is this light doing this thing, or how should I paint this? What's the method? What's the right way to do this? So that's one type of questioning that you can ask. But then there's another type of question that we like to ask at times. Sometimes we like to be the devil's advocate. You ever heard anybody use those words? And it happens in church a lot. It's like, can I just play the role of devil's advocate right here? And my thought is always, the devil doesn't need an advocate. He doesn't need any help. So don't play that role, right? But this is something we like to do. And so we like to trip people up in our questions sometimes. It may look like this today. LSU and Alabama played yesterday. So somebody who knows an Alabama fan may want to go up to them and go, "Hey, what happened with the game last night?" Now, they probably already know the answer, but they just want to see that Alabama fan cringe as they have to say, "We lost. We just lost." Because they don't have to say that a lot. And so maybe for them it makes them feel good where they just have to kind of squirm a little bit. Or we do that when we want to trap somebody in a question. It's not always the best way to do things. It's not the best way to treat people. But you and I have asked a question to somebody that we maybe know the answer to, or we know they don't know the answer to, and we just want to try to trap them. This is what is happening with Jesus. The Sadducees are trying to trap Jesus. They don't care what the answer is, friends, because they don't believe in the resurrection. They just want to see if they can trap Jesus. And so here's what they say. They go up to him and they say, "Hey, there, Moses wrote, if a man's brother dies having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother." And then they say, "There's seven brothers. And the lady was married to one of the brothers. And then he dies. And then, so she marries the second and he dies." And he seven times. Way hypothetical here. What's the chance of one, just somebody having seven brothers? I know some of you may have it. But what's the chance then that all of them would die and this lady would outlive them all? And so they say, "Well, in the resurrection, whose wife will this woman be? For the seven had her as wife." So this is just meant to trap Jesus. So what I want to share with you is three things with this story, because this is a trick question. But notice Jesus does three things as he answers the Sadducees. First of all, he meets the Sadducees where they are. Secondly, he speaks to an uncertainty, a question that maybe many of us would have. Is there marriage in heaven? What's that look like in the resurrection? And finally, he answers one of the most pressing questions of all, of life. Is there life after death? Is there life beyond the grave? And so let's look at this. Jesus meets the Sadducees where they are. The Sadducees, as we already talked about, they only believed in five books of the Bible that the way we know it. And so what does Jesus do? He shares a story from one of the five books, Exodus chapter 3. And he's sharing this story about Moses and the burning bush that we read earlier. And the most important part that he's sharing, and the reason he's sharing it, is because at one point he says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And this matters because he could have said, "I was the father of Abraham, the father or the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." But see, he says, "I am." Well, those patriarchs of the faith had been dead for hundreds of years. And what he's proving is, see, guys, you buy the book of Exodus. You say that this is God's word. And I'm showing you, whenever I said all those years back in my word that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I am the God not of the dead, but of the living. Because even though they had already died, they're still living. So he answers them in a way that they would be able to understand and comprehend. Why does this matter? Because Jesus meets you and me where we are as well. No matter what question we have. And if you're a non-believer here today, I'm glad you're here. I hope that if you have questions, they're answered. And if not, feel free to ask. Pastor Rich or myself, or ask anybody here. And look, I know for myself, Pastor Rich probably has the answer, right? I don't know if I will, okay? I don't know if I'll have the answer. He may just give you a little something too, you know? He likes to just, you know, do some of these stories and stuff. So, but we will do our best if we don't have the answer to find it for you. And a lot of times we don't have the answer, right? Because faith is sometimes a challenge. But shouldn't this be a place whether we're non-believers or believers in Christ where we have the opportunity to ask questions and question? This should be a place where we say, hey, like, we're struggling with this. Because do we always have the answers to everything in life? The answer, if you are not able to say it because of your pride, is no. We don't always have the answer. And so, yet, this is what Jesus is doing. He's meeting them where they're at. Let's meet people where they're at. Know that Jesus meets you where you're at, even when you don't have the answers, even when you're questioning. It's okay. Jesus loves you, and he meets you where you're at. Secondly, Jesus answered this question about marriage. Even though it was kind of this far-fetched thing, it's a great answer for us because there's times, as a pastor for sure, I have been asked, will we be married in heaven? And according to what Jesus is saying here, it just appears that he's saying marriage isn't a necessity in heaven, that marriage is something that was created by God, a gift between one man and one woman for life on earth. Because once we get to heaven, we're going to be with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're going to be sons and daughters of Jesus. It's just not something that's necessary. Now, I pray that when I see my wife, Sarah, or maybe my kids in heaven, that there would be a different twinkle in their eye when they see me or I see them. But that's just me. I don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe we'll have a secret handshake. I have no idea. Right, but it seems to indicate that there's no marriage in heaven because it just we're going to be with Jesus. We're in a perfect place where I hope, and an assumption I have is that we'll know everybody by name. So even as I'm still struggling, remember your names, some of you. We'll know everybody's name, and more importantly, Jesus knows your name. It's an awesome thing. And thirdly, the final thing Jesus did in this answer is he answers this most pressing question in life. Is there life beyond the grave? And the answer that I kind of already answered it in the first part, right? But is yes, there is life beyond the grave, eternally, eternal life. And what does he say here? He is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. You and I, as followers of Jesus, will have eternal life in heaven. We will live forever with Christ. And that's what he's saying to these Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection. And notice what it says. They no longer dare to ask him any question. He answered them so well, they were like, we're done. We have no other thing to ask you. You and I will live forever with Christ. That is an amazing, precious gift that he gives you. And you know what's great? It's not just for then. We're living now with Christ. Don't just think it's something coming. You already have that gift today as a follower of Jesus. A man by the name of Dr. Ray Pritchard tells a story about the funeral of Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill planned his whole service before he died. And just a little side note, as a pastor, it's a blessing for us as pastors and your family to plan your funeral before you die. So you know what you want, and you get to see it happen in the sense of nobody questions it whenever you prepare it ahead of time. Winston Churchill did this. And in his service, this magnificent service, just as the benediction was pronounced, he had a bugle player hidden in one side of the dome of St. Paul Cathedral's in London that began to play taps, the traditional melody signaling the end of the day or the death of a soldier. And as the mournful notes of that song faded away, another bugle player on the other side of the sanctuary began to play reveille, the traditional melody signaling the coming of a new day. It's time to get up, it's time to get up, it's time to get up in the morning. See, it was Winston Churchill's way of saying, I died, but I'm already up in heaven. I'm living. That's the way it is for you and me too. Our last breath on earth is our first breath in heaven, eternally, forever, because of Christ. Life beyond the grave is a reality. Because he lives, you and I do too. So go in that hope. Live the life that you've been given by Jesus. Meet people where they're at. When they have a question, study God's word together with them. Help find the answer. If you can't find the answer, come to Pastor Rich or I or Sunday school teachers, other people around you, so that people know about the living hope that they have because of Jesus and that you have as well. Amen.